Father, we just ask, Lord, that your spirit would go through here, O Lord God, and touch each and every one of us, Lord. That we would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we would uplift him above everything else, Lord. May this all be about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As he said, we should love one another, Lord. I pray, Lord, that would be in our hearts each and every day. That we love one another as God loved us. He took upon his sins upon us, for us, Lord. And we thank him for that. If he could do that, Lord, how much easier it is that we would love one another. Father, I pray you give the pastor the wisdom and knowledge he needs, Lord, to speak your word, Lord. May it touch each and every one of us. May we go forth with that word in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, and speak to others about Jesus, Lord. Let's talk to people so souls can get saved and come into the kingdom, Lord, before it's too late. Father, we'll do all this in the name and the honor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, 796. 796. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Very good. That's great.
celebrated both in the same week. Two of our newest members are celebrating a birthday, so that's great. Maddie is celebrating hers today, so that's great. Okay, yesterday we had a great time during the church work day. I know some of you couldn't be here with other commitments, but we had a good time in spite of the bad weather for most of the morning. But we still got a lot of work done, and hopefully next time we'll get some more things done. So it was a blessing, a good time of fellowship as well as getting work done. Okay, along that line, over here on the organ, we've been signing up, some of the men have been signing up to mow the church lawn, and there are some open spots for later in the summer. So if you are interested in doing that, it could be done somewhere between Thursday and Saturday, anytime. But we want to make sure it gets done so that it looks nice here at the church when we come here on Sunday morning. So if you're able to do that, the sign-up sheet is over here on the organ. If you need some instruction about where, you know, how to get into the shed and how to start the mower and all that kind of stuff, please let us know. We'll be glad to give you the instruction that you need so you know what to do. All right. Next Sunday, Brother Renzi will not be able to be here, but Mark Reno will be here in his place. So I think all of us know who Mark Reno is. He's Pastor Freeman's son-in-law, and he works at the Conversion Center there in PA, just near the Maryland border. So he'll be coming up and telling us what's going on at the Conversion Center, I'm sure, as well as preaching and teaching. So I look forward to seeing him next Sunday. I think that's all the announcements except for, let's go over our memory verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. If you need to turn there in your Bible, go right ahead.
Yeah.
Yes?
You need to tell people about the chain.
Yes, agreed. While you're turning, yesterday we put up a chain. It's going to be attached to the two signs that we have already out in the parking lot telling people not to park in our driveway during the week. So for services, it'll be open, but we're going to close that chain. It's a yellow chain that has two signs on it that say no trespassing. We just want to keep people out of our parking lot when they're not supposed to be here. And I think the final straw is when we found a huge puddle of oil that got leaked out of some vehicle. And that obviously causes damage to the blacktop, so we don't want that. So if you come by here during the week, there are the two, one on each side, very last parking spots near the alleyway street. Those two will still be available, so you can quick park there and come around the chain and come inside. Or if you want to park in the front, that's certainly acceptable as well. But we're going to keep that chain up when we don't have services here to keep people away from the parking lot that should not be here. All right? We've had too many problems over the last little while. All right. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. All right, let's say it together. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. All right. And one final thing I neglected to mention. I just found out a couple of days ago that Pastor Smith down at Community Baptist is having an evangelist, Ron Comfort. Some of you know him. He'll be there at their church starting today, and then they'll have their normal Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock p.m. tonight. And then Monday through Thursday, they're going to be having services at 7 p.m. at Community Baptist with Ron Comfort, the evangelist, preaching there. So if you'd like to go, that might be a good opportunity to hear Ron Comfort. Okay? All right, so let's take our books again and turn to 798. 798. message is 801. 801.
Of every blessing, ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon.
Part of that this morning in Sunday school. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, great song, especially in light of what we're going to talk about this morning. Would you turn to Luke chapter number 15, please? Luke chapter number 15. Prone to wander. One of the famous sayings we people often say is, there goes I, but by the grace of God. Amen. Luke chapter number 15. This morning I want to preach a little bit on the prodigal son. The prodigal son. Luke chapter 15. In this chapter, the whole chapter speaks of three lost things. It speaks of the lost sheep. It speaks of the lost silver, and it speaks of the lost son. There's a reason for the prodigal son, the story. And let me show you just for a moment before we get into some thoughts about the prodigal son. Luke 15, would you look at verse number 1, please? Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. By the way, Jesus loves sinners. Amen? He doesn't love our sin, but he loves us. Amen. The Pharisees were the self-righteous religious people who did not like sinners because they didn't think they were sinners themselves. Amen. I don't know how in the world you go through life not thinking you're a sinner. Amen. But nonetheless, Pharisaical people, they did not like the publicans and sinners. The publicans were the tax collectors that worked for the Romans, extracting taxes from the Jewish people. And a lot of times they would take more than they were supposed to. And they're classified with the harlots and with the sinners. And so these publicans and sinners drew near Jesus to hear him. Look at verse number 2. And here's what the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Yeah, thank God he receives sinners. Amen. And they obviously didn't think they were sinners. That's why they didn't think they needed to be received by him. You know, the physician doesn't come to work with those that are well. He comes to work with those that are sick. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth for the salvation of sinners. Amen. And yet you had these self-righteous religious people who didn't think they needed the Lord Jesus because they didn't think they were as bad as they were. Now, I want you to understand, in verse number 3, it says, "He spake this parable unto them, saying." And what the Lord Jesus does for the whole rest of the chapter, some believe it's three different parables. Some believe it's just one parable with three different segments to it. But the whole emphasis of each and every one of these little stories within this chapter are really focused against the Pharisees, the self-righteous religious people who looked down on sinners because they thought they were better. Let's take a look at the first thought, the first part of the parable. Look at verse number 4. He said, "What man of you," and again, he's speaking to the Pharisees, "what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" You see, what the Lord Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, he said, listen, whatever one of you men, if you had 100 sheep, if you lost one, you'd leave the 99, you would go after that one sheep until you found it. I believe that he's actually saying to them, you value sheep, material things, more than you value souls, eternal things. Look at verse number 5. "And when he hath found it," he's referring to the sheep, "he layeth it on his shoulders and he rejoiceth. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And by the way, I know many people take this and they try to make this the story of Jesus finding the sheep. And that's wonderful application, but that's not the interpretation. He's speaking the Pharisees who are willing to leave the 99 safe and secure to go look and search and seek and try to find that one sheep that they lost. By the way, Luke 19:10 talks about Jesus, the Son of Man. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. God is more interested in the seeking of lost souls than he is, than these Pharisees are, for sure. They would be interested in seeking their materials if they got lost, because they value material things, but they didn't care for eternal things. Look at verse number 7. Here's what Jesus said. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Listen, what he's saying is, Pharisees, you value the things of this world and you do what you can to obtain the things of this world. And when you do, you rejoice. But he said this, God has a different value system than you do. You see, God values one sinner that repents. Heaven rejoices. Amen. Men may rejoice over their gaining of things in this life, but God's more concerned with eternal souls than temporal things. Amen. Look at verse number 8. Now he goes on to the second aspect of the parable, or another parable, however you want to classify it. Verse number 8 says this: either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? You see, the man loses the sheep and he does what he can do to get that sheep back. This woman loses a piece of the silver, which is most likely a piece of her dowry, and she does what she can. She works hard and seeks diligently to find that silver. Why? It's valuable to her. Sheep are valuable to the man. Silver is valuable to this woman. And they do what they can to get a hold of to find it. Look at verse number 9. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there shall be joy in the presence of God over one sinner that repenteth. I believe that in the first portion of his parables, the Lord is saying to the men, you Pharisees, you men, you would seek until you found that sheep, and you rejoice when you found that sheep, that material thing. But God rejoices over one that is found as a lost sinner to become saved. And then this woman does what she can to find that piece of silver. When she finds that piece, she rejoices. By the way, they should not be complaining that these sinners are seeking Jesus. They should be rejoicing that these sinners are seeking Jesus. That's the whole point of it. They are complaining that these lost sinners are being found by Jesus. They're complaining over that. Amen? They should be rejoicing over it. Sometimes our value systems are different than they ought to be. Amen? When you value sheep and you value silver and you do everything you can to get a hold of them, but you have no concern for souls, there's something wrong. Amen? We go from a man looking for 1 out of 100 sheep to a woman looking for 1 out of 10 pieces of silver. And then we go to where there's 2 individuals and only one of them is lost. And that's the story of the prodigal son. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. Let's begin this morning in verse number 11. I want to give you a couple thoughts this morning in reference to the prodigal son. Now, most of you have heard about the prodigal son before, I would imagine. The word prodigal basically means waster. And that's exactly what the prodigal son did. He wasted his inheritance. Amen. Let's pick up in verse number 11, if you will. And I want to give you, by the way, I'm going to give you some points this morning. In verse number 11 to 13, I'm called this the rebelling of the prodigal son. The rebelling of the prodigal son. And in verses 11 to 13, let's look at his rebelling. Verse number 11. And by the way, this song, the song that was sung this morning, goes along with this. By the way, we're all prone to wander. Amen. I mean, we talked about Demas, Paul saying he forsook me loving this present world. Amen. And so it's amazing that people can leave the Lord and leave the things of the Lord and go out into this world. Amen. Anybody, any one of us can do that. We're not out of the woods until we're out of the world. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 15. Let's begin in verse number 11. 11 to 13. Let's look at the rebelling of the prodigal. And a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Verse number 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted, there it is, there's the prodigal, wasted his substance with riotous living. The rebelling of the prodigal. First of all, I want you to note one of the first things we see about rebellion is found in verse number 12. Notice the statement in verse number 12. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, what's the words, the next 2 words? Give me. There's selfishness right there. By the way, at the base of rebellion is always selfishness. Amen. Give me. He says, give me the portion that falleth unto me. Now I read, and from what I understand, the portion he wanted, get this now, was the portion he was supposed to get when his father died. Think about that. You know what that means? That means that this young man pretty much wished his father was dead so he can have what he wanted. Could you imagine that? Amen. Give me is at the base of selfishness. Amen. And by the way, the whole selfishness always leads to sinfulness. Always leads to sinfulness. Your way is not the best way. Amen. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. Everyone has turned to his what? His own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, selfishness, give me, turns into sinfulness. Look at verse number 13 again. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey. By the way, it was his journey. It was what he wanted to do. Amen. He took his journey into a far country. And get this. He wasted his substance with what? Riotous living. Sinful living right there. In fact, notice what his brother said. If you skip down to verse number 20. Notice what his brother said about the kind of lifestyle he was living. And as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with what? Harlots. Thou hast killed the fatted calf. And so this young man, this prodigal son, he got to that place in life where it was all about me. And he demanded of his father, I know that I'm not supposed to have this inheritance until you're dead, but give me what's mine at your death now. The essence of it was, you're dead to me now. Amen. Give me what's mine. He got what he wanted, and then he went and he lived riotously. He lived sinfully. Amen. We see the rebelling of the prodigal in verses 11 to 13. Let me give you the next point. Not only do we see the rebelling of the prodigal in verses 11 to 13, but we see in verses 14 to 16, the reaping of the prodigal. The reaping of the prodigal. Look at verse number 14. To 16, if you would, please. And when he had spent all, there's the prodigal right there. He spent all. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. That means need. Verse number 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Get this. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. Do you know what that would mean? He sold himself to somebody. He sold himself to somebody to be somebody's slave, right? Look at verse number 15. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to feed or into his fields to feed swine. Now listen, Jewish people do not eat pork and pigs. Pigs are against the law to them. This young man found himself in the gutter, doing things he wouldn't have done before. By the way, you'll never know where sin will take you. Amen? Never know. Verse number 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He lost everything. He spent everything. He wasted everything. And then he found himself in a hard place, in a hard situation. Amen? The reaping of the prodigal. And let me just say this. I don't doubt the fact that this famine wasn't a part of God's doing in the parable even. Let me say this. God can cause famines for us. When we get away from the Lord and we get in our own life and doing our own thing, our own way, there are times when God can cause famines for us. What is a famine? A famine is a shortage of something. Amen? And let me quote a verse for you. Psalm 107, you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 107, verse 17. Listen to this. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. There are many times, because of our sinful choices, we actually put ourselves in places where God can deal with us and chasten us. Here's another verse for you. Psalm 107, listen to these verses. Verse 33 and 34. He turneth, and it's talking about God, he turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground. That's a famine, right? A fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. Do you get that? God can cut off blessings. Amen? In fact, the prodigal son got away from his father, spent everything, wasted everything with his sinful living, and he found himself in a place where he was cut off, if you will, a famine, a place where he was cut off and from things that he needed. And there are many times when God's people get away from him and find themselves cut off from the blessings of God. Amen. Come thou fount of every blessing. Amen. He's the fountain of every blessing. In fact, let me just say this. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 13, you remember how God, through Jeremiah, said to the children of Israel, listen, you have committed two evils. Number one, you have forsaken me. And number two, you have hewn yourselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. There are people that leave the living fountain of water, that leave the blessings of God, and they go into this world. And let me tell you something about the well of the world. It's not good. It always leave you dry. Amen? No doubt about that, right? By the way, here's an example in the Old Testament. You remember the Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, how because of the wickedness of the nation, how they got away from God and were worshiping Baal. What did Elijah do? He prayed for the Lord to stop the rain. Amen? When God's people get away from God, he prayed for them to stop the rain. Don't let the rain. If the rain don't come down, the fruit ain't coming up. The vegetation ain't coming up. Amen. And so Elijah prayed against that nation that got away from God. Stop the rain. And then you remember that battle on Mount Carmel. Amen. Where Elijah called down the fire of God and turned the hearts of the nation back to God. And then what did Elijah do? He prayed, send the rain. Amen. Because when that nation gets right, God can send that rain and that blessing. In fact, in James chapter number 5, it mentioned that. Amen. He prayed and shut up the rain for 3.5 years. He prayed again and opened up heaven, if you will. I want you to turn with me. Hold something or throw something in Luke 15, because we're going to come back there. Turn to Jeremiah for a moment, please. Chapter number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 5. I'll take my coat off here. The prodigal son. We see his rebelling. We see the rebelling of the prodigal son. Now we're seeing the reaping of the prodigal son. Jeremiah chapter number 5. One of the goals of the devil is to get us away from the Lord and the things of the Lord. Amen. And it's not a good place to get away from the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 5, would you look with me for a moment, please, in verse number 23 to 25. Jeremiah 5, 23 to 25. The Bible says this, but this people, referring to the children of Israel, hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and what? Gone. Look what he says in verse 24. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth what? Rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. In other words, he's saying the children of Israel have gotten away from God. They got a revolting heart. They rebelled against God. And they don't ever think to say, hey, we better stop and we better respect God. He's the one that sends the rain, that gives the harvest. If we're going to get away from God, we're going to get away from the blessings. Amen. In verse number 25, here's what the Bible says. Look at it. Your iniquities have turned away what? These things. The rain and the harvest. And your sins have withholden what? Good things from you. The prodigal son got away from the father, wasted everything, and was suffering in a situation. He was in a situation he did not have to be in. Amen? He could have had the blessings and the good things that come from the Father, but he had gotten away from the Father. In fact, Psalms 84:11, there's the contrast of this verse is Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that what? Walk uprightly. Amen. The rebelling of the prodigal. We see his selfishness. We see his sinfulness. The reaping of the prodigal. We see the fact that he found himself in a famine, in a situation that he didn't have to be in. Let me make a statement. You cannot live in selfishness and sinfulness and not reap the consequences of it. Amen? Listen to this verse. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. And that's what we have the prodigal. Numbers chapter 23. Don't turn there. Numbers 32, 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. Amen? The prodigal son got away from the Lord, and he got away from his father, if you will, and he wound up finding himself in a hard place. In fact, in Proverbs 13:15, it says this, the way of transgressors is hard. Amen? We find, number one, turn back to Luke, if you would, please. Luke chapter number 15. We find the prodigal. We find the rebelling of the prodigal in verses 11 to 13. We find the reaping of the prodigal in verse number 14 to 16. And by the way, let me just say this. Not only can Christians, can believers who get away from the Lord go through a famine of provisions, but we can go through a famine of peace. We can go through a famine of peace, amen, a shortage of peace. In fact, I think that's one of the first things that go when you get away from the Lord. Amen? I don't know how many people have experienced that before. One of the first things to go out to your heart and your mind is the peace of God. Amen? In fact, we sang in Sunday school, I've got peace like a river, right? There's a verse. The verse that this comes from is Isaiah 48, verse number 18. And it really is a matter of fact that the children of Israel didn't have peace like a river. They got away from the Lord. Had they obeyed the Lord, they could have had peace like a river, is what the scripture says. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Amen. When we get away from the Lord, we can lose a lot of things. We saw the prodigals rebelling. We saw the prodigals reaping. Now, let me give you another thought. In verse number 17, I want you to note this, if you will. Go back to Luke 15, please. Not only do we see the prodigal rebelling and the prodigal reaping, but in verse number 15, and he, verse 17. Look at verse 15. And when he, what? Came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He came to himself. Can I tell you what happened before he came to himself? He was beside himself. Amen. By the way, you know the term beside yourself. They actually blame Jesus for being beside himself. Do you know what beside yourself means? Crazy. They said of Jesus, he's beside himself. And let me tell you something. When you get away from the Lord, you actually get beside yourself. Amen. But one of the things that the prodigal did, and by the way, thank God for the judgment and the chastening of the Lord when we do get away from him. Because listen, if everything goes well and everything goes good, we probably would never come to ourselves. Amen? My prayer is always, dear Lord, if we go to get away from you, please work against us. Amen? It's a wonderful thing. By the way, the psalmist in Psalm 119 said, it is good for me that I had been afflicted. Amen? And he was talking about God's chastening in his life. And by the way, I could testify the same thing. I, like the prodigal son, got away from the Lord. But thank God that things got worse. It didn't get better. Things got worse to the point where I actually had to come to myself and actually talk to myself, not out loud though. Amen? And I said, hold on a minute. Let's consider the situation here. Look at me. I'm in this place. I'm feeding pigs. I'm hungry for the food that the pigs are eating. Look at my situation. Until you come to a place where you see your situation is not what it ought to be. In fact, he starts what? Remembering back when he had it well. In fact, he said, man, at my father's house, he said, the servants are eating better than me. One of the things that God tries to do for us is to get us to come to ourselves in humility and honesty. Amen. In fact, I think that's what he tried to get Adam to do when Adam first sinned. You remember Adam sinned and then he ran and hid. And what did the Lord do? Adam, where art thou? It wasn't that the Lord didn't know where he was at. He wanted Adam to realize where you're at, where he's at, where he was at. Amen. He was beside himself until he came to himself. What did he do? He began to remember. Here's what he says in verse number 17 again. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Let me tell you what he did when he was in that bad situation. He remembered what it was like back at the father's house. He remembered how good it was. He remembered how there was plenty of food. Amen? One of the things that people that get away from the Lord need to learn to do is remember how good it was when everything was right and when you are right with the Lord. Amen. In fact, I think David did that in Psalm 51, 8 to 12, when he was praying for God to restore him. He said, I want you to restore the gladness again and restore the joy of my salvation again. Amen. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse number 4 and 5, the Bible speaks of the Lord commending the church. And he says, listen, you're fervent, you're faithful, you're devoted, you're working for me and so on. But he said this in verse number 4 and 5 of Revelation 2. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. He said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen and what? Repent and do the first works. Do you know what the Lord was saying to this church in Revelation 2? He's saying, listen, you're fervent. You're faithful. You're serving me. You're doing this. You're doing that. He said, but listen, what you've done was you've stopped loving me. He said, what you need to do is remember from where you fell and repent and get back there. Can I tell you what I believe? And I know some people take that verse and say, you need to remember where you started sinning against the Lord and so on. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying, remember when you first fell in love with me. Remember how sweet it was. Let me put it to you in our terms of our human situation. Remember your honeymoon. When you first get married, and you go on honeymoon, and the beginning of your marriage is wonderful, and everybody's happy and joyous, and there's nothing too hard to do for anybody. Sure, I'll do it. Sure. What happens over years sometimes? You can get into a rut where you're doing the laundry, you're doing the dishes, you're doing this, you're going to work, you're doing it, and you're just going through the mo. You're doing everything that needs to be done. But sometimes the love can get cold. Amen? You're still going to church. You're still singing. You're still maybe reading the Bible. You're still doing your prayer. You're still doing a lot of things. But you can sometimes, by the way, I can sometimes pray when I sleep. Can anybody else? Can you read mindlessly? Anybody else? You can get so familiar that you can read something without even thinking about it. I can. And what I'm saying to you, we can get to a place in life where we get away from the Lord and we're just not in love with him like we used to be. But sometimes things are masked because we're still doing what we used to do. We're just not feeling like we used to feel. We're just not from the heart like we used to be. Amen? And that's what he says here. He says, listen, remember the sweet communion and fellowship. Remember how it was when you first got saved? And let's go back to that. Amen? Let's go back to that. I want you to turn with me for a moment to the book of Hosea. Hosea is right past the book of Daniel. Hosea, if you would, chapter number 2. Hosea chapter number 2. We see the prodigal remembering. You see, he started remembering the good times, listen, when he was ended up in those bad times. Amen? I don't doubt that many people sitting in prison are remembering good times, because prison is not a good time. Amen? I want you to look at Hosea chapter number 2. This whole book is a wonderful book of Hosea marrying a woman who was actually unfaithful to him. And the great picture is how God is faithful to the unfaithful wife, Israel, as a nation. But I want you to see in verse number 5, Hosea chapter 2, verses 5, because God says something about this unfaithful woman, and it's paralleling with the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was unfaithful to their God. Amen? And here's what he says about the nation of Israel. For their mother, verse number 5, for their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived, she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers. In other words, this woman is a picture of Israel forsaking God, her husband, saying, I'm going to go after my lovers, the idols and the false gods that they were worshiping. I'm going after my lovers that give me my bread and my water and my wool and my flax and my oil and my drink. In other words, I'm going to forsake my God and I'm going to go after the world and the things of the world that give me what I want. And by the way, be careful. This world will give you what you want, but in the end, it ain't going to be what you want it. Amen? Look at verse number 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns. You know what God's saying? You go ahead and forsake God for somebody else, and what he's going to do, he's going to hedge up your way with thorns. What does that mean? That means you're going to be running into bushes that are going to hurt. Amen? You ever heard the term pierced through with many sorrows? Amen. As a matter of fact, let me just say this. While we're on it? Psalm 16:4. They that hasten after another God shall have multiplied sorrows. Look with me, verse number 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall. You know what that means? He's going to make sure you run into a wall. What does that mean? Dead end. Where did the prodigal son end up? Dead end. Amen? You forsake the Father, you forsake his blessings, and you go and you think you're going to find enjoyment in the world. If you are saved, you can no longer go into this world and live in it and enjoy the things of it anymore. Not the sinful things, amen? And that says that, God said, I'm going to make sure. It goes on to say, verse number 6, and she shall not find her way. By the way, wit's end. Wit's end. Don't know which way to go. Amen? Now look at verse 7. I want you to see this. This is the key verse. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. What does that mean? That means you're going to be chasing something that you're never going to find. Has anybody ever heard of, in reference to drug addiction, chasing a ghost? Has anybody ever heard that term? You know what that means? There are people that one of the things is when they first get high on some kind of heroin or any kind of drug, there's a certain high that they reach and they love it. And that's where they get addicted. And what they try to do is they try to get that high again where they feel the way that they felt. And that's why they keep on running after it, getting high, getting. And guess what? They never reach it. They never reach it. To me, I think it's the devil's tactic. Give you a taste of something and then make you run after something for the rest of your life that you're never going to get. Amen? But look at this, verse number 7. And they shall follow after their lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Now look at the rest of the verse. Then, by the way, with then, that denotes a time period, right? This person is like the nation of Israel, forsaking God, trying to run after something else that they think is going to be satisfying. What happened to the prodigal? He wanted his money so he could buy what he thought was going to be satisfying. Now watch what happens. Then I will go. Here's what she says. I'm sorry, let me back it up because I think I missed something. Yeah, then shall she say, I will go and return to what? My first husband. Why? For then was it what? Better with me than now. You get the picture? The picture is this. The nation of Israel is forsaking God, their husband, and going and being spiritual adulterers and going after other things, trying to get satisfied by the world and the things of the world. And God is going to make sure that they never reach that. They're going to come to a dead end. They're going to run into thorns. They're going to run into a wall. They're never going to get satisfied. You and I that are saved are never going to find satisfaction apart from him. You can try, but you're going to waste a lot of time and a lot of other things. Amen. That prodigal thought that he could buy satisfaction, and he came to the end. By the way, what did he do when he got to the end? He started to think about how it used to be better at the Father's house. This woman is told she's going to get to a place where she realized it was better with my first husband. It was better to stick with the Lord and not to get away from him. Amen? In fact, I think of the psalmist in Psalm 84:10. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. Amen. And then he says what? For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand elsewhere, if you will. Amen. The prodigal son, we see him rebelling. We see him reaping. We see him remembering. And then look at verse number 18 and 19. Turn back, if you would, to Luke chapter number 15. As we make our way down, Luke chapter number 15. I'm so glad when the Lord doesn't allow me to get too far away. Amen. I thank God for that. We've seen the rebelling of the prodigal. We've seen the reaping of the prodigal. We've seen the remembering of the prodigal. As he's reaping those bad consequences, he's remembering how good it used to be and how sweet it used to be. And in light of his remembering, here's what he determines to do. Look at verse 18 and 19. Luke 15, 18 and 19. Here's what he said. Listen, I will arise and go to my father. Listen, remembering how it used to be caused him to determine, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go back. Amen. And I'm going to say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He was determined to get back to where he was. Amen. By the way, he goes from verse 12, give me, to verse number 19, where he says to the Father, what? Make me. Make me. He went from selfishness, give me, to submissiveness, make me. But what happened between the selfishness and the submissiveness? A lot of troubles. By the way, I know a person in the Old Testament who illustrates this perfectly. His name's Jonah. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do what you want. I'm going the opposite way. And when he ran from God's will, every step he went was what? Down. Down to Tarshish. Down to the bottom of the ship. Down into the belly of the whale. Down into the depths of the sea. And it was when he was down that he said, okay, you got it. I'm facing the temple in my heart. Amen. And what did God do? He said, good, okay, let's spit him up. Amen. Amen. And he got back on track again. Amen. And that's what happened to the prodigal son. He went from give me to make me, but a hardness was all through it. Amen. The repenting of the prodigal. I want you to also see this. Turn with me, if you would, please. Oh, no, we're actually still there. Let me give you the next thought. Number five. We've seen the prodigal rebelling. We've seen the prodigal reaping. We've seen the prodigal remembering. We've seen the prodigal repenting. By the way, repenting is what he was doing in his heart. I'm determined. I'm determined to get back up and to get back to the Father and to get things straight. Amen. But I want you to see the next thought, and that is the returning. Look at verse number 20 of chapter 15. This is the what? The returning. Verse number 20. And he what? And came to his father. Let me just say this. Everything that's going on in his heart of what he's going to do is wonderful. But guess what? Nothing's happening until he does what? Till he gets up to go back. Don't ever comfort yourself in your situation with what you're going to do. Am I the only one that does that? Can I get a witness on that one? I know I'm not everything I ought to be, and I know that I'm not what God wants me. But let me tell you inside my heart what I'm determined to do. And then next year I'll tell you the same thing I'm determined to do. You could be determined in your heart and mind and comfort yourself and justify yourself. Listen, nothing's happening until we actually get up and go back. By the way, I have a profound statement that I want to make right now, and it's this. Get this now. You don't want this to pass over you. The key to getting back, ready? Going back. The prodigal could say, it was sweet back there, and it's wonderful back there, and I'm going to go back there. But nothing happens until you get up and go back. Amen? Was there a time in your Christian life where it was better than it is now? And that don't have to be the case. You could say, hey, right now is the best time for me. Was there a time where your prayer life and your devotional life and your walk with the Lord was closer, sweeter, better? If there was, then we need to say, hold on a minute, we need to get back there. There's a song that says, Back to Bethel. You got that in hymn book too? back to Bethel. Bethel's the house of God. That's what the name Bethel means. I must go. Anybody, did you have that one? Okay, that's a good song. But anyway, it's a song about somebody getting away from the Lord and just determined to get back to that sweet time of prayer, sweet time of fellowship, and so on. I mean, listen, over time, everything can become mechanical. We can read mechanical. We can pray mechanical. We can do this mechanical. And the heart's not there. And some of us need to say, you know what? I need to get back where my heart's in it. Amen. And the key to getting back is what? Going back. Amen. Let me give you the last thought. Last point. Okay, look at verse number 20. I'm going to read the rest of the verse. So we saw the prodigal rebelling. We saw him reaping. We saw him remembering. We saw him repenting on the inside. We saw him returning. And down here's what we see. We see the prodigal's restoring. Restoring. When he went back is when the Father restored him. Verse number 20 to verse number 24. Let's read it. The Bible says this in verse number 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Boy, you know what that reminds me of? First of all, the father was anticipating his son to come back. And he was looking for his son to come back. And when that son was making his way, the father saw him and ran and met him. James 4, verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Amen? Now look at verse number 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse number 22. But the father said, and I mentioned this last week when we were talking, the father didn't say anything to the young man. The young man judged himself enough. Amen? But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. He must have lost everything. He must have lost everything when he got away from the father. Amen. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Verse number 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Thank God. Although this young man lost everything that he lost by his own doing, the father graciously gave him a robe, a ring, and shoes and such. Amen? We're not going to read the rest of the chapter, but do you know what the rest of the chapter does? It lends itself to the beginning of the chapter. Remember the Pharisees were murmuring, complaining? What did his brother do? He acted like a Pharisee. I've never transgressed you at any time. I've always been home. I've been a good boy. And amen. And this your son who lived wickedly comes home and you make a party for him and you celebrate. That's the Pharisee's attitude against the publicans and sinners that come into the Lord. Amen. God help us. And just like that song that we sang today, our hearts are sinful, wicked above all things. And we pray for God to keep them and bind them close to him. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your precious word this morning. Thank you for the illustration we find in the prodigal son. Not only an illustration of the fact that Pharisees think they're better than prodigals, but the great picture of how we as your children can get away from you, can go on our own journeys and do our own thing and really waste our lives. How many Christians have gotten away from you and wasted many precious years to, thank God, be able to return. We can never replace the years we wasted. I do pray for every one of us in this gathering this morning. Father, some in this room know what it is to get away from you as the prodigal and then, thank you, be able to come back and be forgiven and be restored. And some may never experience it. I pray they never have to. But sometimes we're prodigals at home. We've never left. We've never gone so far, but maybe just in the heart. I do pray that your spirit would help each and every one of us, Lord, to stay close to you, Lord, to be very careful to not let the devil put a wedge between us and you and to pull us away from you with the loving of this world. Father, I do pray today that you'll Bless our dismissal this morning, Lord. Hedge and protect and keep everyone. Help everyone to get to their destination safely. Father, if there's anybody in this place that's not sure they're saved, I pray that they'll come see me, Lord, and we'll speak with them or have somebody speak with them to make sure they know they're saved. And in 2 weeks, if anybody needs to be baptized, Lord, may they come and we'd love to talk to them and maybe baptize them in 2 weeks when we have the Lord's table. Father, please, we pray for your watch care now in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day. Amen. Again, if anybody in here is not saved or you're not sure about being saved, please come see me. We'd love to talk to you. And if you need to be baptized, if you're already saved, let us know. We'll certainly like to baptize you. Amen. Have a great day. Amen.